Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Our preacher this morning is, as I said, our friend and founder, George. And his sermon this morning is entitled, Living in Christ, Both Inside and Outside the Church.
Grace and peace in our Lord Jesus. I'm so happy to get to come again today and to see all of you. This is one of my favorite places, having served in this church myself for about 30-something years. And then I retired. And now retirement has brought me back. But I'm grateful that I'm here, and I'm grateful that I get to see you. I met with Jonathan last week, and he was kind enough to allow me to come and preach two Sundays in a row. You know, I struggled for a long time, though once I received this, I thought, I know exactly what I'm going to say, and it's what I did set last week, I had been working on this Romans passage, actually the whole of Romans 12. It's a very meaningful chapter. It's filled with challenges. It's filled with understanding of God's love and praise, and also talks about us and our relationship to God, and not only that, but our relationship to each other in the church itself and to those in the community. You know, and I wasn't even thinking of all the events of Hong Kong during these last two or three weeks. But now you cannot miss it. You have to think about it. And so I've tried to look and see, is God trying to say something to me and to you about his intentions for us? What does it mean to be Christian? What does it mean to follow Christ? Yesterday, with friends from another church here in the city, we went to Nagasaki. I don't know if you know where Nagasaki is in Japan, but nevertheless, it's a very beautiful city. Unfortunately, one of the atom bombs was dropped there during the war, which helped to end the war, unfortunately. But it's good the war ended. Could have been worse for everybody, including those who live there and those who had to drop the bombs. We thank you. We thank the Lord for his care for us. But the purpose in going to Nagasaki in particular was to kind of trace back some of the early Christian martyrs in Japan. Catholic brothers had gone to Japan. The Jesuit brothers, and they had led many people to become Christian. Actually, they had worked under great difficulty because the Japanese did not really receive them very well, particularly the government. They thought, this is a foreign religion, it's foreign to us, it's going to destroy our country and its capacity to live together as Japanese people, because it has all these guaylos and their religion and not something we've grown up with. And so that was part of it. But nevertheless, Japan government at one point in time, this was in the late 1600s, learned of these people who were following Christ. There's a movie that's come out now. It's called The Silence. And if you get a chance to see it, you'll be touched by its profundity, because it talks about how they suffered. They were already suffering as poor people, but they had believed and they trusted Christ, and the Christian brothers that had given them the gospel encouraged them and lived before them and helped them. It wasn't just being foreign or a foreign religion, but it was trying to help them to be Christ-like. And then when the government found out about them, they began to sort them out and search them out. And they took them and they began to persecute them. There were 26, they call martyrs, because each one of them gave their lives. And this experience of the Christians there in Nagasaki. And, they had to be quiet. They had to evade the authorities and all of those sort of things. But the result was that when the Japanese began to sort them out and take them out, one at a time, they began to persecute them. They wanted them to recant their faith. It's something that it was foreign to them, and they did not understand what these people had gone through, how they had received joy, happiness, and praise and thanksgiving from God because of their new lives in Christ. And so there was two opposing views, of course, the government and those that had believed. But in this area of Nagasaki, they did several things. One of the things is they took the believers to a place like Rotorua in New Zealand, where the sulfur smoke comes up and the bubbling springs and the geysers come up out of the ground. And they took them there. They took the hot water. They pulled it on. It's terrible. And they began to persecute them in every way possible. But they would not recant. They would not turn away from Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They had a faith that was complete. And they trusted God because God had given them peace and happiness in their hearts. And they were willing to do anything they could to bring honor to Jesus. I don't think we understand what it means sometimes to follow Christ. The price that has to be paid, who we are, where we are. We have a good life. Hong Kong is multiply blessed in spite of all the difficulties we have. It has a blessing that comes from peace for the most part. It has blessing from people who care about themselves and about their neighbors. And the blessings that God brings to each of us. And many people have become Christian in Hong Kong, which is great. There are also those who do not believe. But at the same time, there is a peace in Hong Kong that defies understanding sometimes. We have been through a lot as Hong Kong people, and they're still going through it. And today is another day, and tomorrow will be another day. And there will be other marches and other people protesting decisions of the government and so forth. But I begin to think, well, I needed to say something about in this passage about what would we as Christians do? What should we do? And so I turn my mind around, I hope all the way, in a good direction. But I began to think, well, this is what it means to follow Jesus and what Jesus expects of us. That's what the scripture talks about. You know, in the time of Paul and the Roman government, they were also very evil, and they persecuted people. They tried to keep them down. They wanted to put them in prison if necessary, whatever. And that's what they tried to do to the Japanese, 26 people in this church in Nagasaki. But they treated them horribly. And eventually, they struck them out on crosses and they let them have the waves come up on them. And they were literally waved to death by the water and the sea. But they would not recant. There's a beautiful monument that's in Nagasaki, that's in a cemetery, a nice place to pray and to reflect upon what they went through and what they did and the lessons that they learned and teach us as well. But I thought, well, that was a lot like Paul's situation. It didn't talk about them being persecuted in the same way, but nevertheless, God has given to us a life. He said, if you will follow Jesus, you must take up your cross and follow me. And so we're in that tradition of following Christ as Christians. But here is this passage of Scripture, this wonderful passage that talks about how we should act. What can we do as Christians? What does God expect? Well, one thing I found out as I began to study and to look at this particular passage of Scripture was that God expects us to be like Him, to have the same kind of attitude, concern, thanksgiving, prayer, petition, and to treat people as humans, not like the Japanese were treating their own compatriots. In those days, in the 1600s, trying to wipe out Christian faith. But it's a beautiful presentation now. I'm not sure how many Japanese have come to Christ since that time. But the church has built a monument. They have a whole cemetery that's devoted to those martyrs. And they recognize them for their faithfulness and for the lessons that they taught to all of them. But here we are in Hong Kong facing difficulties ourselves. Okay, what attitude should we bring? What does God expect of us? And what can we do to bring others closer to God during these days? How do we react when we're being persecuted, when our families are being persecuted, when the government is trying to do away with Christian faith, as it were? I mean, if you look carefully at the ultimate bottom line, the Chinese government is not terribly interested in us becoming Christian. I'm not going to criticize them. I'm not going to say anything. I can understand that sometimes people have agendas that seem to them to be the wise things for various reasons. And within a certain context, they may be justified for that in terms of how we are receiving Christ and His love. But nevertheless, what can we do? How shall we react? So that's why I wanted to take this passage of Scripture and rethink it. You know, I don't think that was intended about Hong Kong, but it seemed to me it had something to say, at least to me. I began to think yesterday as I saw all of these relics and I saw all of these things about the Catholic Church trying to establish a base and bring people to Christ in the 1600s. I began to think, how is it that we can live? You know, one thing we have to do is we have to recognize that Christ is our Lord and that He comes to us as a loving Lord, as a gracious Lord, taking care of us, leading us, giving us a good life, no matter how it turns out. But we come to bring Him into our lives as our context for living. So, you know, and Jesus worked through the Apostle Paul to bring peace to the people who followed him in those days with the Apostle Paul. And also brought them to understand that Jesus lives. He lives in our hearts. He lives in our world. And He's given to us this same opportunity to follow Him, to love Him as He loves us, and to love others and help them no matter whether they're Christian or not. That's one thing that came to me. You know, we're being judged as Christians right now in Hong Kong for the way in which we act or react. It doesn't mean against the government is reaction in the wrong way, but nevertheless, it does mean that we are given opportunities to demonstrate our Christian faith to many brothers and sisters and to many others as well who have no intention of becoming Christian. I think that that's something we have to understand. We're called to follow Christ, take up our cross, and follow Him. And so the Apostle Paul, he tries to bring some things to us in these few verses. If you want to keep your Bible open, you can kind of look and follow along. But there's a sense in which God wants us to let Him rule in our lives and lead us and to guide us into where we should go. And sometimes we will be persecuted, sometimes in our own families. And I think that's one of the things that I understood. You know, we will be persecuted, some will persecute, not because we're special, but because we are Christian, because we follow Christ, and we believe that He will lead us, that He will guide us under all circumstances, including martyrdom. Christ has come into our lives, and He wants us to follow Him as best we can. So we have to recognize that we have to come with a kind of commitment to Him, to allow Him to live at first place in our life. And we need to follow Him. And those who persecute us, we have to bless them. That's one of the things that the Scripture talks about, is blessing those who persecute us. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. Blessing us, asks us to be a blessing to them. That's the one thing that Christ wants of us when we trust Him. Become His blessing in our communities to others, no matter how they treat us, no matter what goes on. And sometimes this happens in families where we're split open. We have two camps in our family. One of the young people, perhaps, who've become Christian and go to church regularly and praise the Lord with songs of blessing. And then there are those who say, what are these young people up to? What are they doing? Why are they doing this? Don't they recognize that that's not Chinese or whatever? You know? And so they will be against us, even our own families. We have to take our lives, commit them to Christ, and allow Him to use us. So we bless those who persecute us. And this means that we will rejoice with those that rejoice. We'll give our lives as best we can to be happy to understand where people are coming from, even those who do not become Christian, that there is a sense in which we come to understand the human heart and the human needs in our love, in our community. And we can give ourselves to Christ, and we can be used of Him to bless those. We can rejoice with those who rejoice. People that weep, we need to weep with them and understand why they're weeping. In our community, you know, there's so many challenges right now with the things that are happening in the marches and so forth. Families are being divided in some respect. Not intentionally, but that's just the way it works out. And so we have to understand that we need to bless those who are persecuting. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We need to weep with those who weep. We need to share with others all the things that God has given to us. Now, in light of this, we're working toward blessing the world and our community. There's something about us that calls on us to be sensitive. People of all rare birth and gifts, and to understand that we have to help them, that we have to show them what God wants. And this recalls upon us to have integrity in our Christian faith. Had you thought about that? You know, it's easy when things are going easy for you, but sometimes things are not so blankety-blank easy. And we just have to understand that we have to stand up. We have to live the same way. There should be a way in which, and an earlier verse that we read last week was faith, faith, faith. Having a faith in Christ that stands and defines our life. We become Christians, and there's a way in which we demonstrate to others that we are Christian, not trying to bring honor to ourselves, not trying to boast about ourselves. Paul was concerned about that because, you know, he was a Pharisee at one point in time, and he was very proud of his Pharisaical life. You know, he was up at the top of many of his peers in following himself and following what they thought was the righteousness of God. Actually, we're just trying to avoid sin. You know, okay, I do this, I don't sin. I do that, I don't sin. And I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. But that's not true. But for us as Christians, there ought to be a tenor of our lives that comes from the center of our hearts and our commitment to Christ to live out the gospel as best we can. We may make mistakes. We may not go the right way sometimes, but there is a way in which our church, our lives, the lives of our people, lives of those who are Christian, walk each day, which shows people that there's no change in my life. I'm not here because people, things are difficult or because anything else. I'm here because Christ Himself has given to me a new life. And I've been given that new life. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I'm hanging on to that as best I can. I have a new life that God has blessed me with. Not because of my goodness. Not even because of my faithfulness. But I should be. You know? He has given to us, each of us, a life that blesses other people. We're concerned more about blessing people than we are getting even with them, you know? You know, sometimes we think, okay, you're going to treat me this way, I'll treat you that way. We can't do that as Christians. The thing for us as Christians is that we have to live out our lives in such a way that others are attracted to Christ, who gives us the ability to rise above the evil and the problems that are in our society, and others who may be working evil in order to get us away from where our faith is. God has given to us a new life and a new presence in the world. He wants us to live in the world in such a way that we bring others to Christ eventually. That's not easy to do. Sometimes we forget how we've been blessed. I have difficulty sometimes in recalling, okay, what have I come through and what has God given to me and how am I using that to bless others, or am I just doing my own thing? Am I just attending to myself? We can't do that. God does not want us to do that in the first place. He's given to us this hope and happiness because Christ Himself gave His life for us, His love, and He was given a place at the right hand of God as He was raised from the dead, just as He promised would be done. And He wants us to live to Him, with Him, in that same direction, so that we, without bragging, without being hokey or anything like that, we don't have this pride. We don't need to have pride. God gives to us a life that's beyond that. And we have to show other people in our community, those who are crying out with various kinds of cries and attacking government or whatever. You know, and you can't blame people for being upset and having anger, but God does not want us just to anger, to be given to anger. He wants us to be blessing those that are about us, our family, even when they're talking against us. Even when they're not happy that we're walking, that we're doing these things. So easy to do things that are easy. But we have learned that we trust God and that we walk by faith I mean, we do it one day at a time and one step at a time. We trust Christ to give us life and purpose and desire and strength. One of the persons who was persecuted a great deal and who had brought praise, had brought people together to speak to government about their desires. He said, we have to be jingjik, you know. We have to be faithful and straight. We have to be filled with courage with what we're doing. And mogon daiba. Okay. When we live the way that Christ wants us to live, and we're allowing Him to lead us and to walk in the direction that calls others to examine their lives, even as we are constantly examining our lives, and always trying to help our family members, our neighbors, those that are sometimes opposed to us. And that's what Paul said. Don't persecute them. Don't give up. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Even those who are physically and personally against us, we don't have to take any pride in that. We don't have to be cool. We don't have to be, you know, okay, I'm better than you, and that's what I'm doing this for. No. We'll never be better than others. Christ is our better. We're like Him, and we do that to the best of our ability. We follow Him and allow Him to direct us. We have to leave God's grace and mercy to deal with us and to deal with others and to help us as we walk, not to pay people back. The human tendency many times is to repay people. Okay, I know what you're doing. Okay, I'm going to get even with you. It never works that way. Christ doesn't allow that. He doesn't want us to act in that way. He wants us to follow Him and to give our lives, that others too may find purpose and blessing. We're to be the blessing of all the people in Hong Kong. That is our need as a church. Our church, Chim Sa Jui Jung Tsung Hui. We're to be gifted, given to God, that He can use us step by step, day by day, moment by moment. He can lead us and we'll follow without complaint. We know that His way is the best way. And we don't do it because we think we're better than other people. We may be. You know, we're not filled with evil, hopefully. But nevertheless, we follow Christ and He leads us and He helps us. And so then we can follow Him and do His will. See, ultimately what we want is God's purpose to work out. And we don't know exactly how all that's going to happen. You know, even given our intention to follow Christ closely and do all that He asks us to do, we're not sure how that's all going to turn out. And, you know, there may be people like they were in Nagasaki, the Japanese people, that they persecuted people by pouring boiling water over them, making them stand on the coals where the smoke and the sulfur were rising. Persecuting them, trying to get them to stop, not to believe. They refused. They gave their lives nevertheless, because Christ had gifted them with life. I was impressed in trying to comprehend to just a small amount how it is that those people could do that. They were poor people. They were not well educated. They had come to find Christ, and the teachers that they had, the Christian brothers, you know, they helped them to see how they should live and did their best to guide them, even when they themselves, their teachers, were persecuted. They showed them in the way that their courage allowed them to walk, that God might be praised. It seemed to me that we're at a critical time in Hong Kong for showing people, not trying to brag about our church or brag about our people, but as a church and as individuals, we're here to show people how to bless each other, how to be a blessing to them, and to cause them to look above, look up, find Christ, find hope, find light for their lives, not to walk in darkness anymore. You know, God gives us light through Christ and various people in our lives that encourage us, our Sunday school teachers in Chimsanje, our deacons, our people who are leaders, those that have lived their lives throughout this time in our church and for Christ's sake and are still doing it. We're grateful for them. We follow them. We follow their example. We don't complain. You know, it's easy to complain and say, oh, yeah, this is horrible. You know, how am I going to do this? You know? But step by step, moment by moment, as Christ is lifted up, as we look to Him, He shows us how to walk, where to walk, what to do. He gives us courage in facing our persecutors, in facing others. God will repay them. That's what the scripture says. God will repay them. It'll be like burning coals on their heads when they realize what it is. But we're not trying to get people to have burning coals. We're just trying to follow Christ. Just trying to get Him to drive, to direct us and help us as we go forward. I pray that I will be a faithful disciple. I don't think I really understood what it means to follow Christ in that way. I was surprised, you know, that this is what it means. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's not something that happens once in your life, not on the day of confession, not on the day of baptism. It happens every day and every moment. That's our integrity in letting Christ show through us. They don't see us. They see God who blesses us and cares for us. I think we need to pray that we will be faithful Christians, that we'll not try to punish people or to be punished. We may be punished ourselves, but we can accept that because we understand that God gives us a life. But you know, Christ was punished. Christ was stripped. Christ was beaten. They beat him with iron birds in their whips. And yet he took it all. He didn't complain. He gave his life for you and for me. And that's our life. That's how we live. That's how we give grace and thanksgiving to God. So each of us can give ourselves to God this day in a special way. Ask Him to pray, to bless us and care for us. That we'll not treat people evilly because they treat us that way. That we'll treat people with love, with respect. Respect them and their decision making. We want them. We can pray for them. We can pray earnestly for them and ask them to follow God. But still, it's up to us, you know, to follow them, follow Him as best we can. Don't worry. We'll be like that too. May God bless you and keep you and help you and help us as a church, as individuals, in these days of testing and trials, to have the right attitude, the right spirit, and the right actions in our lives that will bring people to Christ and help them to receive the blessings that God intends. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are your children, and we're often weak. We stumble. We don't always get the things right. But Father, you've been good to us. You've given us grace beyond our fondest belief and understanding, because you want us to be your children in a positive way. The world is suffering. There are many people who are suffering. Many people are suffering in Hong Kong, children and young people, even some who've given their lives during these days, and the families that they have influenced. Oh, Lord, help us to help them and help us to find ways of encouraging them, to let them know that life counts for a lot, and that Christ leads us and blesses us and uses us. Help us, our Father, to be faithful and to bring honor to your name. In Christ's name, amen.